My guest right now is Jenny Rockwell, and you are with the Sonoma County Library System. Hi, Jenny.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Well, welcome. And you certainly are trying to make a difference. It's not about putting library books back on the shelf for you.
Not only that, but we have exciting programs coming up. I'm excited to tell you all about them.
Indeed. And it's something that you started, the Planet People Project. Is something this was something you initiated?
Yes, I've been involved and passionate about sustainability for some time now, and I've really had a dream of bringing that to libraries in a really proactive way. So I started Planet People Project, and it's a proactive library series about building resilient ecosystems and communities. And I love bringing people together to catalyze social change and green living, and bringing resources and information and people and agencies and organizations together to be creative and get informed.
Well, being a librarian, you have your fingers on incredible amount of information.
Yes, that's
right. So that
right.
must help you tremendously.
Yeah, and so we have a theme on sustainability every month for February, March, April, and May, and there'll be a guest speaker each month on the theme, as well as a separate event, which is just a discussion circle with anyone interested in these topics. And there's curated lists of readings, documentaries, podcasts, websites that I've brought together to encourage people to investigate. They can come without having looked at those things and learn from the discussion, or they can read one thing or click on one link and have something to bring to the table. And so information is what I've been gathering to share. I'd love to talk to you about it.
Definitely. But I like the split you've done between a presentation and then a workshop, so you can dig in a bit deeper on each subject.
Yeah, not just a talking head, but people can bring, everyone has something to contribute about what they know. So I found at the first event, it was a discussion on alternative economies that happened two Saturdays ago. It was 11 or 12 people just really excited to talk about what we can do about economy and what does that mean. It's not just about money. We talked about local public banks. You just talked about how the dollar is stretched in local communities. So we talked about how to invest locally. There's some books on that on the curated list. Even if you missed the discussion circle, you can look at it.
Oh, okay.
And find some interesting resources.
So this is, how long is this going to stretch for? What is the
Well, we have eight slated programs for February, March, April, and May, and then we'll take a break in summer unless I can make some magic happen. But summer will be the summer reading program, and there'll be other programs. And then in the fall, we'll start back up with a new round of about three or four. And it's just like the ideas keep coming, and people keep suggesting, oh, this would be perfect. So, yeah, like a repair cafe might happen in the fall. So I'm not sure. But right now, we have alternative economies in February, ecosystem restoration in March, food systems in April, and grassroots community in May. And so there's a presentation and a discussion circle for each of those themes.
Brilliant. Now, you work out of the Northwest Library in Coddington.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's where it all happens. All the programs happen there.
Yeah. And I am considering it a pilot so that we can have this reach out. It is in our strategic plan to encourage sustainability and green living within the community and our organization. So I think with the branding, which is a lovely picture of people on a book with shovels and being proactive together, we hope to expand it out to the other branches as well.
Mm. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness people did vote for the library system a couple of years ago, and I imagine that's helped in encouraging these type of expansions of the services.
Absolutely. We're playing for some pretty impressive people who aren't cheap, like Donega Markegaard is a rancher, and she's really well known, and she wrote a a book about being, you know, a tracker and all that. She's a female rancher who does regenerative agriculture. And, she's coming to the grass fed. There's a big convention coming for ranchers and she's one of the keynote speakers, but we got her for the library too. Everybody should have access to this information, even if they can't afford to pay for it. So. Yeah.
Knowledge is vital because you never know where, how it will spread. Just one word to somebody else and great things happen.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's one coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday, February 16th at 2 p.m.
Indeed. So we should delve into that so everyone can get their interest piqued and go on down. So tell us about yourself first before we wander into that.
All right.
Now, you're a librarian.
Yeah.
How did you come into, you know, what was your life's arc that brought you to this?
Yeah. Well, after I dropped out of college for a little while, I became a waitress for many years. And then I decided to go back to school. I studied anthropology at UC Berkeley. And I believe that was the beginning of my interest in sustainability. I've just been very curious about how the human species has lived and the change to an industrialized society that disconnected from nature has been a fascination of mine. But my dad was he's a retired children's librarian, and my grandfather is a retired professor of librarianship. And so I got a job in a library just thinking, oh, you know, this isn't forever. And I fell in love with the library and its inclusive environment with everything at your fingertips that you could be interested in, and all the media, you know, books and movies and CDs and all of it for free. So you could experiment with listening. Now a lot of people get free music, but back then just getting a CD to try out a new rap group or something was really cool. So I fell in love with it and went to library school in San Jose. And I was a children's librarian, a branch manager, and now I'm the adult and teen services librarian at Northwest Library. That I was in Oakland and San Francisco before I came here.
Okay. Much difference from big towns to a smaller area?
It's more a cult. It's not so much the size, but I do feel culturally, you know, traumatized sometimes because I miss Oakland and my sense of humor. I kind of have an edgy sense of humor and I have to sort of tone it down because you just don't know how people are going to respond. But I'm getting used to Santa Rosa and falling in love with the community and finding that this program is connecting me with all the things that people are doing locally, that it's really exciting stuff.
Well, that's it. I think you must really find that people are eager to connect up locally, aren't they?
Yeah.
People want it. They're thirsting for it, I think.
Yeah, and I've been spamming every local organization to tell them to come out for this program and spread the word. And just doing research on who to tell, I've discovered so many people that I want to book for the program. Like, wow, look at what you guys are doing here in the community. So there's just a lot going on in this area.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing your passion to it. You know, that's the thing. You take a job, you don't know what other things that may synthesize and synergize in your job that you from the past or whatever that you've had. So
yeah, well, librarianship is so many things for so many people, and so you can kind of job craft and find your niche and say, how can I bring this to people? And everybody's bringing something different at each branch and in their different roles. So that's why the breadth of what we do is so exciting, because you can find something that will interest you.
Let's talk a bit more about the Planet People Project.
Yeah.
Now, you call it a proactive series about building eco-communities. So, obviously, you're building that whole sustainability and community within that umbrella.
Yeah. I guess it would be ecology, economy, community. So, the idea is that we can't sustain ourselves. You just had your other segment of the show be about population and 8 billion people. We really have to be creative on how we all live together. And so we have to figure out how to share the wealth and the land and the resources, the water, all the housing. So that's part of it, is the economy and the sociology of that. And then there's just nature. You know, we can't get away from the fact that that we live in the natural world and we can use technology or science to manipulate things. But when it comes down to it, we're sort of genetically coded to need certain things that are need to be shared, and we're running out of, and we have to. Yeah, so it's the ecology and then the community that we need to be able to get to know each other and work together. And I do think that's a great segue to the Time Bank program, because it's about building communities and sharing with each other.
What is time banking? It's some people look at me puzzled when I mention it, and perhaps you can give a good description.
Yeah. So time banks were invented by Edgar Kahn, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or something. He was laid up in bed. He was like a speechwriter for Robert Kennedy and, a lawyer. And he wanted to, he felt really useless in his position of, he had just had a heart attack, and he was thinking a lot about people who didn't have money. And anyway, so he figured out this economy of time, everyone's time is worth the same. And what if someone donated a service or, a time hour, and get credited that within a network of a community and be able to spend that credit, like as if it were money, on something else being offered by the community? And that no matter what you had to offer, what you knew how to do, if you were a teenager or an elderly person or someone who was disabled or even someone in juvenile hall, there's a lot of different things that you can read, so many articles in a book about how time banks have been so inspirational, but that you had something to offer that was of worth, and you wanted, most people want to feel useful, and you also could use support. And so it's a way of exchanging time, where time is the currency, not money, and everyone's worth the same, because an hour is an hour. So it's usually a software-based system where someone goes and joins, kind of like Airbnb or something like that. And so you create a profile and you say what you would like to offer, and also what you need help with, and you can post those periodically or you can embed it sort of in your profile. And people make offers, and then they arrange exchanges through this software, and then they credit each other, and you basically have a bank of service credits that goes up or down and is tracked through the software. That's not to say that if you got really excited about time banking, you have to use the software. You could get some index cards and have someone track it. I think it's so cool that you should be able to do it. Anyone should be able to do it. Like, I'm going to go to a high school economics class as the teen services librarian and talk about time banking and say, let's do that right now with this class. And write, what can you do? What are you good at? And people start to get to know each other. Oh, I didn't know you played guitar. Mm. You speak Spanish and you could teach me Spanish, or you could knit a shawl for me. Or so anyway, but usually it is software based, and they're going to have a revival. Well, not a revival, but the Bay Area Community Exchanges in the San Francisco, Oakland area has been going for a while. Mm. And so the North Bay is being sort of added to that. And so we're trying to get the word out about what time banking is and see if we can catalyze the community to join and participate.
In terms of typical groups, how many usually work together in those time banks? Is there a limit, or is there a lower limit or an upper limit for that to work?
You know, that's a question. I'm become fascinated with time banks and looking into best practices. And I called and spoke with Edgar Kahn, which is, he's now one of my heroes. So that was really cool. And spoke with his wife, who has been a CAO of Time Banks USA. And they've been collecting data about like that, you know, what's the threshold of when it starts to kind of fall apart with too many people in the network. And, so I don't know. I don't really know, but I know Sebastopol has a time bank and they're going to come speak. I'm wondering, are you part of the time bank?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I haven't had any time to be
you
part of
it. You should come to the program tomorrow and learn about it. And but it is amazing. I was just doing research today as part of a time bank, that Bay Area Community Exchange, and getting credited for time. I love researching. And so now I'm hoping to spend that credit on stuff I need help with.
So that's it. It just keeps...
Yeah, but you get to know the people in your community, and a lot of times things that you can't pay for or can't afford Meaning that sometimes some of the things people can offer on a time bank, you won't be able to find at a company or a storefront or a service that's off, you know. So that's what's really cool, is some of this stuff fills a need that you can't otherwise get help on.
Well, it's the bringing back artisanship, isn't it, really, rather than mass production.
Yeah, if you want someone to make a hand-knit shawl with recycled yarn, you can do that, you know, and something like that in a little boutique might cost, you know, $100, but, you know, with the time bank, you could afford it.
Wow, what a great idea, time bank. Now, is this going around the world?
It's an international movement. If you go to Time Banks USA, you can kind of explore it, but that's not the only people offering software. They offer Community Weaver, but there's other places that nonprofits that encourage and support time banking and have software to do that. I just did an interview with Raynette Seenum, who founded the Time Bank in Nevada City.
Oh, I know her. Yeah.
She's
crazy. Yeah.
She's a firecracker. Yeah. And she's now the, you know, vice mayor of Nevada City.
Right.
They use a different software. And so I'm interested in getting the library as a organization that's part of the network, because nonprofits and organizations can do that. And then people can volunteer for the library and get credit. But that could be a can of worms. So I'm researching a lot of this stuff. We'll see.
Beautiful. Well, we talked about the time banking coming up tomorrow. Well, let's go into, you know, what will be happening tomorrow.
Okay.
Take us through, you know, what they'll be talking about and the process.
Yeah.
And
so
someone
named Gail from Sebastopol Time Bank will come and talk about what time banking is, how it works. I think some people who are part of it might come and talk about their experiences. I'm not sure about that, but then, if people are interested, she'll talk about, you know, the process of forming and keeping it going and what it takes to facilitate. And then Debbie, I don't remember her last name, but she's like a community organizer type, and she's going to talk about the efforts to bring the Bay Area Community Exchange to the North Bay. You can already join in that, but there's some work that needs to be done, and there's a planning session. If you can't come tomorrow, but you're interested, it's a time banking meetup on Saturday, March 23rd, from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Criminal Banking Company, 808 Donahue Street. And I think if you want to stay up to date with all that stuff, go on Facebook and join the Bay Area Community Exchange North Bay. Bay Area Community Exchange North Bay. Just write that in the Facebook search and I'll be able to like the page and get updates on all those efforts to get it going here. So she'll talk about that effort. And then the program director from the Bay Area Community Exchange will come and give a little tutorial on how to join and navigate the site. And I might sing the praises of time banking and why it's so special and what it's like, what it's been like for me and some of the stuff I've read. Actually, could I read really quickly?
Yeah, and I want to know your experiences in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
As a time banker.
Yeah, I mean, I've just found it so rewarding. I'll like do some research for someone in my community. I'll get credited an hour. I'm good at research, and then I can spend that to get my Halloween costume fixed or a ride to the airport. I've had people give me tutorials on film editing, and so I've done housekeeping. I've gotten my computer fixed, and I've just gotten to know the people in the area. I've had a logo made for a library program, and it's just put a thing out like, oh, you know, you're just doing your day and you think, I could really use some help with blah, or I wish I knew how to blah. And you just throw it out there and someone will see it and respond.
Someone somewhere.
Yeah. But this is an article that Edgar Kahn wrote, and there's this paragraph that says, it's kind of a long paragraph, but to appreciate how time banking can build and reinforce communal bonds, consider the results of a survey of older adults who belong to the time bank established by the Visiting Nurse Service of New York. In this survey, 90% of respondents said that they had gained new friendships through the time bank, and 70% said they had contact with their new friends at least once a week. Two-thirds said that their access to health services and other resources had improved, and most respondents reported that time bank membership gave them the support they needed to stay in their homes as they aged. This is an incredible story about how a whole city allowed for older people to stay in homes instead of having to go to group homes through time banking. They also indicated that the time banking had given them an increased sense of belonging, and that their trust in people from other backgrounds, cultures, and age groups had increased. In addition, 90% of them said they had skills that enabled them to help others via the time bank. And there's a great anecdote in the book, what's it called, No More Throwaway People by Edgar Kahn, and he gives a story of his mother joining the time bank and getting someone to go shop for radicchio for her, and that she needed that kind of help, but she really had a hard time accepting charity. So the fact that she knew that person would get reimbursed for that effort made her able to accept help. So that's another reason it's really cool.
Interesting. A psychological thing isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a, it's working for me psychologically. Yeah.
Yeah, because people wouldn't accept charity per se, but where it's a give and take.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to trick our brains, our human brains.
That's true. Yeah.
So interesting. I hadn't thought of even the implications of seniors and that being able to, a whole different thing of being able to stay at home because of a service, something like time banking. That's remarkable.
Know, people could come and just help them cook a meal or, you know, look up their medicines or things like that. And it's also for teenagers. If you don't have money, you don't have an income, how do you get things that you can't afford normally and you have to wait to be an adult to be able to have these luxuries or, you know, services? So I think it's a really great service for teenagers as well.
So is there an age limit?
I think it depends on the time bank and what they decide. I think I saw that children and teenagers can join as long as their parents give them permission. So I saw one propaganda piece about time banking where a guy gave a tea party, like a little tea party for the kids to get his credits. And it was really cute. Like, you can be very creative with what you offer. Yeah.
Well, as long as they're not sending him up the chimneys or anything, the kids.
very Mary Poppins or something.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, well, that's time banking. Let's see. Let's talk about, say, the next one coming up. That's quite a switch to ecosystem restoration.
Yeah, that's the theme for March. And we're going to have guest speakers from Bring Back the Beaver campaign at Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. Very informed, charismatic speakers, Brock Dolman Kate Lundquist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they have so much to share about beavers and their effect on ecosystems. They're a keystone species. Their dams improve water quantity and quality, increasing late season flow and reduce the impacts of flooding. Their bank burrows and food caches provide critical habitat for native and endangered California species. And despite these benefits, current beaver policy in California solely focuses on recreational hunting and lethal nuisance management. So there's a really cool book that they are featured in, the speakers, about their efforts, and it talks about the beaver deceivers and these things that you can do to mitigate the damages that beavers usually do without having to kill them and get all of the rewards. And for this area, there's grape growers and ranchers and all of that. This really matters.
I think a lot of people don't even realize we have beavers in the area.
Yeah, and they were considered non-native, or it was, and part of their project, if you go to oaec.org/beaver, you'll see, there's a beaver spotting thing where you can, if you see a beaver, you tell them and they put it on their statistics or whatever. But this book that was written, called Eager, The Surprising Secret Lives of Beavers and Why They Matter. It talks about, how naturalists thought that beavers weren't even indigenous to the area because the trappers cleaned them all out. But they are. And so they're trying to reintroduce them to, the area, but there's a lot of pushback. So that's what this campaign's about. But, these are just interesting creatures. I think if you're not normally interested in that stuff, you'll still really enjoy listening about the beavers.
Oh, as you say, they're a vital part of that. The ecosystem, if the ecosystem's going to be healthy, they've got to be there.
Yeah, they've got a beaver there. Yeah. Yeah, and it's been really fun listening to the audiobook of that, which is available. Most of the resources on the reading list, there's an audiobook component. You can listen to it on your smartphone.
You've thought of everything.
And you can stream Canopy, which is movies and documentaries, for free with your library card. It's called Canopy. It's in our digital resources section. And so the curated list of all the resources has usually one documentary listed or sometimes more. So Taking Root, The Vision of Environmentalist Wangari Maathai is one of the ones I've listed for the discussion circle on ecosystem restoration, because she is an amazing woman who transformed Kenya during colonialism, and all of the trees disappeared while she was gone. And when she came back, she started the Green Belt movement. And I mean, this documentary will blow your mind. So that's the kind of stuff that we'll be discussing on the discussion circle on the 16th of March.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. So, wow, it's such a breadth of knowledge people can tap into with this. Well done, Jenny. Well done.
Thank you. It's making me kind of spend time with these materials that I usually don't make time for. And now that I have to prepare the lists and the discussion circles, I get to dig in and learn about these things.
So. Well, that's it. And one thing spins off on another, obviously. Yeah. You can see it. But all within, I mean, that's it. Whether it's time banking or beavers, it's all part of that, the community, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the global community of the ecosystem we live on called Earth.
Okay. So the one after that is food systems, cattle, and now this is, hold on. Bossy and Messy, you got to get in here.
Yeah.
Cattle as regenerative agriculture.
Yeah, that's the 4/27 is the date for that. That's where Donega Markgaard, the rancher cowgirl, is going to come. And there's a big movement now with climate change to look at meat. The agricultural industry has huge contributor to, climate change and all of that.
Right.
But at the same time, if we eat meat in a way where the land is managed, there's this idea that cattle grazing, destroys the ecosystem and creates, overgrazing and desertification. But Alan Savory is one of the people advocating for management of where the cattle gets moved and they don't overgraze in one area and it mimics nature. And Donega is doing something like that. And all the carbon goes back into the earth. Carbon sequestration.
Sequestration,
is the process in which the carbon's put back in the earth. So it's, so she's doing that. And I think it's important. She was in the documentary Cowspiracy, and was against, eating beef, and she was misled. And so I think that there's a book on the reading list called Defending Beef, and it's a former vegetarian who now believes in this movement. And so I think it's really, none of this is promotion. It's just, here's one side of the story, and all of the discussion circles, of course, healthy debate is encouraged.
Exactly. And as you say, you know, it's not just growing. I mean, there's the sequestering, the water, and, you know, everything is so linked in with that. It really all just bounces from there.
Yeah, it purifies water, enhances habitat. It's the way that the land and the animals are managed that makes it a, you know, holistic management ecosystem. Restoration is the theme. So, yeah, we'll also be discussing at the discussion circle how mushrooms can be used to break down toxins. And there's a really popular book, Drawdown, the most comprehensive plan ever proposed to reverse global warming. And that's on the reading list as well.
And the thing is, it seems like it's accessible for many different levels of interest and understanding, I would say.
Yeah, I think it'll be just lively no matter what. Come and just absorb or share your opinion. And another guy who's writing against this idea of regenerative agriculture, I forgot his name, but he's a well-respected journalist. And so people might come and say, you know, this study show, blah, blah, blah. So I'd like to see all of the voices come out and discuss these topics because we've got to figure them out together, you know.
Right. Exactly. The last one of the series coming up in May, you can tell us about the grassroots, I'm interested in this, grassroots community empowered together panel.
Yeah, so that's the theme for the month, grassroots community. So there'll be a discussion circle with all of the materials that we were talking about before, readings and documentaries and stuff like that. And then the Empowered Together panel is two organizations. You know, I would have loved to have more, but then it kind of dilutes their ability to get their message across. So one of them is East Bay Permanent Real Estate Cooperative, and they're based in Oakland. They kind of came out of the Sustainable Economies Law Center, which is an organization I think is doing amazing work helping people legally form cooperatives or alternative communities and things like that. This is, let's see, how do they describe it? They will discuss how people of color and allied communities can cooperatively finance, purchase, and occupy properties, taking them permanently off the speculative market. I've moved out of that area because of housing in many ways, and I have advantages that a lot of people don't. And so it really is a crisis there where people have to leave their homes and communities to be able to afford housing. And so they have three things that are in their mission, which is land without landlords, and they create pathways for everyday people to organize, finance, acquire, co-steward land and housing on our own terms, because housing is a right, not a commodity. And I think that's really interesting to think about. It's not a commodity, it's a right. You have a right to live where you're from. And so I think they're doing something really creative with the way that they're coming together to make this possible for that community. Restorative economics, transforming an unjust finance and housing system to build collective wealth among historically disenfranchised Black, Indigenous, and POC communities to redistribute the resource. And I think that what I'm trying to do with Planet People Project is to, I believe change starts small and local, and then people say, wow, that's really cool what they're doing over there. Let's see if we can do that too. And so they're local and they're pulling this off. And so I think in Santa Rosa, there's similar issues of gentrification and immigrant communities having a hard time securing housing. So what can we learn from these people just an hour and a half away? That's the idea. And the last thing in their mission, heal people power. We cultivate democratic governance, nonviolence, and indigenous wisdom to short circuit learned colonial power practices, rebuild our capacity to heal one another, and reimagine collective power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really excited to hear that. Yeah. Noni Sessions is an amazing speaker. I'm not sure if she'll be the one coming to present, but just go on their Facebook page and just go down and click on all the links. They were just part of a panel on KQED about bottom-up governance. So you can get some background on there. And the other part of the panel is The Good School, which is a local community-based organization. And they're going to discuss the Rojava Rojava movement. It's a Kurdish-led self-determination revolution in Syria. And it's really fascinating. It's very ecologically oriented and it's very feminist. And there's women that are fighting ISIS. And so...
What a place to start it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's something called democratic confederalism, and, it considers women's equality indispensable, has deep reaching ecological policies, and rejects reactionary nationalist ideology. So, in the midst of war, they're creating an alternative community. So it's really interesting. In the Good School, they've been studying this for years and they have a lot of, background. So we're going to have them come talk about that. Just the idea. Can we imagine something different? Everyone, you know, here's people in these really horrible situations figuring out how to empower themselves. What, you know, how can we think of solutions ourselves?
If they can do it, we've got no excuse.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yeah.
So how can everyone get in contact with you and find out more information? Can you give them a barrage of information on that?
Sure. The website to go to is tiny.cc/planetpeopleproject, or you can just go to the calendar section of Sonoma County Library, limit it to Northwest Branch, and then look at alternating Saturdays, and you'll find all of the programs on clickable links there, as well as all the, that's where you're going to find all of the curated materials for discussion, and they're all clickable links to take you to the books so you can see where they're available. And I bought multiple copies of the specially chosen books so that everybody can get a chance to read them.
That sounds like you've really taken care of the details.
Yeah, but otherwise just jrockwell@sonomalibrary.org or just call Northwest Library and ask for Jenny. I also go by Rocky.
Okay. And now tomorrow, where should everyone go? And
Just walk into the library. It's kind of like there's the Whole Foods at Cottingtown Mall in Santa Rosa, 150 Cottingtown Center. If you look across from the Whole Foods, you see like a brown building. That's the library. And just walk in and say, where's Planet People Project or Time Banking or Alternative Economies? And someone will point the way.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. What a great program you've set up, Jenny. Really
amazing. Thank you.
Amazing.
I'm so appreciative of you letting me come and proselytize for this long. It's really a special treat.
Oh, a pleasure. Great work. And keep it up and keep the passion up, because that's what we need to make a change in this world.
Likewise.